Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Let's pray. Lord, I ask again for your anointing to preach your word today, Lord, that you would cause me to be directed by your spirit, Lord, and that you would prepare the hearts of your people to receive this word, Lord. Whatever is you intended to accomplish in each person's heart, it will accomplish. And so, Lord, we pray now for your spirit to prepare our hearts to receive your word, Lord, and also that it would produce fruit for your glory and our good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day again. Great day. So when you hear the word father, what do you think about? You know, you go back to your dad and you know, you might think provider, protector, wise counsel, believer, godly man. When we use that term father, there are things that come with that title. And that are just natural. But did you know that in the Old Testament, there is not one situation where any Old Testament saint addressed God as Father? Nowhere in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, nowhere. But in the New Testament, there are at least 275 times where a Christian is instructed to address God as their Father. 275 times. What that shows us very clearly is that God is not our Father through creation, but through adoption. That's how He becomes our Father. Take a look at God's Word again. Galatians chapter 4, 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born of not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then Ephesians 1, 5 through 6. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. The adoption that we have is due to Christ's atonement for us. He came, was without sin at the, as it says here, sent forth at the full, in the fullness of time. Christ came. He met the requirements of the law for us. We were under the law, and the law required perfection, no sin without in thought, word, or deed. And Christ did that for us. We couldn't do it. And then He went to the cross and was punished for sin that was not His own. It was for all who would believe and receive the gift of salvation, as it says in John, who believed in His name. And Christ came and died on the cross. 3 days later, He was risen from the dead. The Father saying, I accept the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And that opened the door for us to be adopted by God. To be drawn into His family by His grace and His mercy. He called us and adopted us. And that is an amazing thing. So many times people will say, well, of course, God is my Father. He created me. So what? He's your Creator. Not necessarily your Heavenly Father. And that's what we see the difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the blood of Christ. and how now we can address him as our Father. As Jesus responded to his disciples when they said, how do we pray? How should we pray? And Jesus said, pray like this, our Father. He starts out with that adoption. We come to God on the basis of the blood of Christ, that we are adopted into the kingdom. It's not by the will of man. It's not by it's not earned by our behavior. That's what it's saying. And you know, you're not adopted in because of man's will. It's the work of the living God. It's through the atonement of Christ. That means that all your sinfulness cannot nullify your adoption. You need to hear that. You need to hear that because people struggle. Take a look at God's word. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and then 38 and 39. For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you have received by God's grace the gift of salvation through grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, then by God's kindness and goodness, you're adopted into the family. And you cannot lose that adoption. You can't be adopted and then given up and adopted again and given up. We are in the family of God. And that doesn't mean that we don't want to walk in obedience to God, because that's evidence of our adoption, that we are walking in obedience to God. But what happens is the enemy likes to whisper in our ears, oh, you've sinned, you've done this. You're no longer loved by God. And we need to understand that our adoption is secure in the blood of Christ, not in our performance. And some people need to hear that today, because we go back and forth with our struggle. Am I saved? Am I not saved? And things like that. And we need to be careful that we're basing it on Scripture, not on our emotions, because nothing can sever the sacred tie or separate a Christian from the love of God. It can't happen. God uses this title, Father, to explain the type of relationship that he desires with his children. This is an intentional term that the Word of God uses to describe what God desires in our relationship with him. Take a look, God's Word again. 2 Corinthians 6:18. I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. In Matthew chapter 7:11, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God desires that type of relationship with us. He desires that closeness of a father to their children. That's what God desires. And he used that anthropomorphic term to describe what that should look like. But at issue is this. The title that is intended to bring comfort and joy can be a stumbling block. Can be a stumbling block. And here's why. Because studies show that we unconsciously attach our feelings and our impressions of our earthly dad to determine what we believe about our Heavenly Father as well. There's a connection there. Somehow we relate to the Heavenly Father in terms that somehow are tied into our earthly father. That's just the way it is. That's why when we say Happy Father's Day, some people recoil. It's difficult for them if they've suffered physical or emotional hurt from their father. Father's Day is a hard day for people like that. If they've felt rejection or even abandonment by their earthly father, or their stepfather. It's not just the earthly father. I know some people that they are far closer to their stepfather than their earthly father. Or their physical father. And so we have an effect on our children's lives. And when a father has hurt their children, abandoned them, has not reflected Christ-like characters, it affects our children. And it can cause a stumbling block in their relationship with God. Because when we say our Heavenly Father, they subconsciously tie that together. It's just the way it works. And I'll explain some of that as we go on. If you're one of those who has a negative memory of your dad because of how he raised you, I'm one of those people. Really rough growing up with my dad. Did not have a close relationship at all. And so when I say what I'm about to say, I've walked through it, and I understand the struggles with that. But what you need to do is you need to forgive them. You need to forgive them for failing you, for falling short, for whatever happened. And you say, well, you don't understand what happened. I don't. I don't understand what happened to you. But I know that the Word of God says that we are to forgive all who hurt us. And if you don't, that bitterness will consume you. It will destroy you. And that very bitterness that you hold in your heart will hinder your fellowship with your Heavenly Father. It will. This is a hard word for some to hear, but we need to stand on the Word of God. And take a look again with this. Ephesians chapter 4, 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. How has God forgiven you? I mean, when you think of your failures when it comes to sin and delighting in God, and yet He pursues you and loves you. He forgives you. And He said, that's the way I've forgiven you, and you're called to forgive those who have hurt you. I think so many times of Christ being nailed to the cross, and at that very moment, He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And God calls you, if you're one of those people that some people would classify them as daddy wounds. If you have those, you need to understand it. You need to forgive. You need to forgive, or it'll consume you. It'll tear you up. And days like today are days that are heavy and burdensome for you, and you don't want to talk about it. Sometimes those around you notice you're kind of down a little bit. But I'm here to tell you that you need to forgive. Forgive as you've been forgiven. And you have to remember, you're not perfect either. I had to come to the reality of this. It was shocking, but okay. My dad wasn't perfect, but here's the revelation. And I wasn't the perfect son. And that was hard. I remember the day I went to ask him for forgiveness for not being the perfect son. And I remember I walked up to him and I said, hey, Dad, I need to talk to you. And, you know, I said, Dad, I ask you to forgive me for not being the perfect son. And I'm expecting a kumbaya moment, you know. Oh, son, yes, I forgive you. And I fail to forgive me, right? And my dad responds, yeah, and that's not only how you failed. Here's a couple other areas. Right? So I'm walking away going, okay, God, what's that all about? I'm looking for this thing. And God said, Dan, it was about your heart. You do what I call you to do. Forgive. Walk in forgiveness. You don't let that consume you. And I, by God's grace, I can say that my relationship with my dad is healed. It took a lot of time, but it is healed. And I love my dad. Yet, you have to deal with that. And if you don't deal with it, it will continue to consume you and bring you deeper and deeper into this pit of despair. So deal with it. Forgive as you have been forgiven. And move on. That doesn't mean you forget. But you move on. You say, you know what? I'm going to do this. Because scars remind us of where we've been. Okay? They don't have to determine where you're going. Do you hear that? So don't let those scars direct what's happening in the future here. You need to walk in forgiveness and see the grace of God poured out in your life and through your life in your relationship with your Father. And when you can do that, what happens is this. There's this beautiful thing that opens up. Is now you can believe who God really is. Now you can start getting a picture of the greatness of God. and who He really is for you, that He is your perfect Father. He's the perfect Father. In what ways is He perfect? Well, let's proclaim the greatness of our God. He is always was, is, and will be present through all the highs and lows of your life, even when nobody else was there. Because He's omnipresent. He's omnipresent. Take a look at God's Word again. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. And then in Hebrews 13, 5. I find it interesting that they tie these together. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, so many times we tie that together, that lack of provision and God abandoning us and what has happened in some people's lives. But He's always been present through all the highs. You know, through all the highs. The day you got married, the day you met your sweetheart, He was there. The first day of summer after school was done. All the joys in your life, all the highs, He was there. All the lows, He was there. Like when Reuben did a little digger, right? When hard things happened in your life and you didn't know where to turn to. You felt alone. You weren't. God is there. And in the future, as you reach very high highs and very low lows, you need to understand that your Heavenly Father is present. He is there. He has not abandoned you. As a matter of fact, it is not possible for Him to abandon you. He can't do it. Your Heavenly Father always was, always is, and always will be there for you. He is omnipresent. And you can't chase Him away. He's always there. He's there to help you. The issue is not our Heavenly Father's availability, but it's really our awareness of our Father's presence. I was watching a show yesterday, I think it was, with my sweetheart. The guy was in the wilderness and he said, you know, I just like to come out in the wilderness because, he said, I experience God. I hear God speaking to my heart. And he said, it's not that God isn't speaking to my heart all the time. It's just that when I'm in the wilderness, the clutter moves away. You know, I think we need to get to that place where we desire to remove the clutter, huh? To just shut down and say, Father, I'm sitting at Your feet. I want to delight in You today. Slowing everything down. I know John and Sally find that at a place called the Grand Canyon, where everything slows down and shuts down and the clutter is gone. And it's not that the Father hasn't been there that whole time. He has been. We just haven't been listening. We haven't been resting in Him. Our Heavenly Father is always present. And He is always present, but He's not there. He's always present, but He's also present emotionally. You know, when dads can be there, but they're disconnected from their family. That's what happened in my family. You just disconnected. My dad was there. He brought home the paycheck. We ate, but I mean, I had no relationship with my dad. Emotionally, he was not there. He showed up at the door, and that's pretty much it. And so emotionally, He wasn't there. And that's how we have to see our Heavenly Father, that He is there. He is there. He is present, but He is there emotionally for us. What we can find is that He is not just present, but He is supremely attentive and affectionate towards us. We hear those words and we kind of recoil a little bit because we don't associate that with our dad. My dad being affectionate, my dad being attentive. Take a look at God's Word. Isaiah 49, 15 through 16a. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. In Psalm 121, He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Wow. I mean, I can't imagine something more consuming and affectionate than a mother with a nursing child. I mean, it's amazing. As a guy, we just stand in awe of you ladies. You could do like four things at once, and you're aware of all these things going on, and you go, wow, I don't know how you do that. And God is saying, you know, even a nursing, it's more likely that a nursing mother would forget than me. That's the attentiveness and the affection that our Father has towards you. Do you hear that? That's the type of attention and affection that the Lord God, your Heavenly Father, has for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always present. He is always present. And He is not just present but emotionally separated from you, but He is there. You always have His full attention. Do you realize that? We need to hear that. You always have His full attention. He is never too busy to listen to you when you pray. That was one of mine with my kids. You know, I'd be so consumed with getting stuff done around the house and providing for them that there were times when my kids would want to talk and I'd say, well, I got to get this done. And you know, as dads, you look back, right, and you kind of regret those times. You maybe can think of them, a few of them right now, because I can. Yet, our Heavenly Father isn't like that. He will always be attentive to us. He's never bothered by us when we come to Him. Never bothered, not once. No, hey, hold on, Dan. I got some issues in the Middle East I'm taking care of. So just hold on. We got to break that mold, that idea of what our Heavenly Father is like. We never bother Him. He is never preoccupied with other problems. You can't bother your Heavenly Father. He is always there emotionally for you. And don't worry about taking up His time. It's yours. It's yours. Don't worry about taking up His time. It's yours. And He desires to and longs to spend time with you. He longs for that. As His child, how are you doing with that? Do you long to spend time with your dad? You know, when kids are growing up, isn't that the thing? You know, I see little Joel back there. I'll tell you, that boy knows how to worship. He was clapping and dancing, going around like this. I said, yeah, Joel, you go. And you know, those children want to be with their pops. They pursue their pops. Hey, Dad, hey, Dad, hey, Dad. Right? All the time, constantly. And I think one of the sad things is as we grow older, that becomes less and less, doesn't it? I know it's part of God's plan. We grow up, the children grow up and they become independent. But you kind of miss those hey, Dad years. They kind of, I'll be honest, they're a little bit aggravating when they're young, you know, right? Because it's always, hey, Dad, can we do this? No, son, I got to do this. Hey, Dad, how about this? Hey, Dad, this broke. Can you fix it for me? Not right now. Hey, Dad, but I want to really play with it. How about you? Are you hey, Dadding a lot with your Heavenly Father? Are you desiring to be with Him as much as He desires to be with you? To just sit at His feet? To just delight in Him? Be in His presence? Because He desires that of you. And if it's not happening, it's not necessarily because of the Heavenly Father. It's because of our own hearts. We get so preoccupied with everything else. And we have to live in this world, and we have responsibilities, and we need to fulfill those. But boy, are we robbing ourselves from hey, Dad moments, aren't we? To slow down and stop. And just delight in our Father. And Him to delight in us. It's amazing. So easy for the world to steal those things from us. And we get caught up in the world and suddenly Dad's just a phone call on Father's Day, huh? So easy to do that. But God desires more than that. He longs for something more. Our Heavenly Father is always present. Our Heavenly Father is always attentive. He's always compassionate. And He unconditionally, constantly loves you. He unconditionally, constantly loves you. He will never hurt or abandon you or withdraw promises. You know, so many times, well, I said I was going to do this, but because you did this, that's not going to happen. And that might be a form of discipline that you have to use with your children. But again, what about it? Our Heavenly Father is never desiring to hurt or abandon us. He won't withdraw His promises. As a matter of fact, He does the exact opposite. He undeservingly blesses us, doesn't He? I mean, grace is undeserved. Grace is undeserved. And we try to earn it so many times. We try to pay it back, don't we? It's like a loan from God. And we try to pay this grace back. Well, you know, then I'll do this. God, hey, I'll work a deal with you. If you do this, then I'll do this. And we kind of try to work a deal with God, our Father. But His grace is abundant. It's free because of the blood of Christ. It's based on Him, not us. And He desires to bless us. And you say, well, why would He bless me? Why would He bless me? Because you're His child. You are no less a child of God than Moses or David. You are no less a child of God than John Piper or Spurgeon or Pastor Dan or anyone else. We are all the children of God. And He doesn't rank us. So why would He bless you? Because you're His child. That's why. And you don't have to earn the blessing. For whatever reason, God is just so incredibly gracious that He just pours it out on us. And we are less than willing sometimes to receive those blessings because we feel we have to earn them or we have to somehow work a deal with God. And He's just our Father. Okay, I don't understand what this is like, all right? Because I'm not here yet. But, you know, you have your kids, and if you're the father, you kind of are, at least for us, you kind of, when you want to bless your kids, you got to weigh out all the costs, right? Because you go, oh, I got to pay for this, I got to pay for that. And I know you'd really like that Red Ryder BB gun, but I can't buy that for you, son. Right? Then you become a grandparent. Right? You become a grandparent. And now it doesn't matter. You want to just pour out a blessing upon those grandkids. Why? Just because you're not worried about a whole lot of things, right? And you'll work around it. If hey, Joe, if he wants a remote control car, we're going to figure out how to get it done, right? If we ain't going to buy one, we're going to buy two because he's got a brother and a sister, right? We figure it out. It's like God. He blesses us undeservedly. That's who He is. It's just a part of who He is. He's generous. Our dad owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Our dad loves us unconditionally. He's our father. And He delights to bless His children. Just like you delight to bless your children. So you need to receive that. So many people don't. They weigh it out on what they've done or whether they've earned it. You cannot parallel your Heavenly Father with your earthly father. It's so easy to do this in our lives. We can't do that. He will bless you undeservedly because He loves you unconditionally. And when you sin, He will not reject you or hold you at arm's length. You need to hear that. You need to hear that. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's especially boys, right? It rains outside. It's like little boys have a magnet for mud puddles, right? It's amazing. It's amazing how they can find them. And a puddle can be like this deep, right? And they come in, mud from the head to toe. You go, where did you get all the mud? How did you get this muddy in that hole, right? So your child comes in, the house, and they got a big old grin on their face, right? Hey, Daddy, look at me! Right? That's how they are. And they're so proud. Look at me! Well, you don't reject the child, do you? You reject the mud. You clean it up. And that's how our Heavenly Father is with us. When we sin, He doesn't reject us. We're His child. He sees the mud. And in His grace and in His kindness, He cleans us up through the blood of Christ. He does a work in us. And He says, you know what? I love you. You're my son. Yeah, you're really muddy. Well, let's get to it. Let's get to it. He doesn't reject us. And right away, in your mind, you're thinking this, but I don't deserve that. You're right. You don't. So deal with it, because that's what's happening. That's how God is towards you. Now receive that and walk in it by God's grace. Cause it to make your heart delight in Him. One other reason why, to just praise Him. Your Father will not reject you, but He will pursue you with love and patience. And whenever He disciplines you, He disciplines in love, not frustration and anger. Take a look at God's Word again. Hebrews chapter 12, 7 through 11. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Yeah, God is gracious. God is kind. He's there all the time. He's not separated from us emotionally. He loves us unconditionally. He blesses us undeservedly. And He disciplines us because He loves us. And if we want to walk in sin, then He lovingly disciplines us. And as it says, it's painful for the moment. We have to address our sin, our own hearts. And we see the ugliness in us. And yet God will discipline us because He loves us dearly. And He will never discipline out of anger or frustration. That is the joy. That's where I think it's very difficult for our earthly fathers, because many of our fathers did discipline us out of anger and out of frustration, you know. And we need to forgive for that too. You know, sometimes we look at that and we have a hard time letting that go. I love, my wife helped me with this so much, because, you know, I was a typical guy. When a kid, one of my children screwed up, I'd, you know, spank him, you know. And she said, babe, you got to learn to discern the difference between childishness and rebellion. And I went, that's great. That's great. You know, little boys are going to be little boys. And man, if they're not looking at you, they don't hear you. And they're going to do their boy thing. And so I had to learn that. I would say this, fathers, hear this word of encouragement. Ask God for the grace and the power to be like Him when it comes to disciplining your children. He disciplines you. He does it in love. He does it in kindness. He does it for a purpose. Ask God to help you be like that. Amen? Our Heavenly Father, His compassion, His understanding, and His forgiveness are measureless. Measureless. So whatever you do or do not do does not cause you to cease to be a child of the Father. It's about Him, not you. As it always is with the gospel, isn't it? It's always about God. Take a look at God's Word. The verses we started with, Romans 8:14 through 16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There you go. And Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Do you receive that today? Do you receive that? Because either God's word is true or your emotions are true. That's what it says. But you don't understand what I'm going through, the hard time. I get it. I can't understand you. But God does. And He's there. He will not leave you or forsake you. He will be with you. He will always be there. And when you don't respond in a way that would honor Him, He still delights in you. He still rejoices over you because you're His child. These are truths that you need to let sink deep in your heart, because what it'll do is it'll produce a joy unspeakable, even in the midst of storms. You will realize that this is who I am in Christ. This is my Father, and this is how He loves me. So I would say this: stop striving for something you already have. The Father's love and the Father's favor. Stop striving for what you have. It's yours. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. It's yours. Stop wrestling and start nestling. As Joni Erickson, I think, is the one who said that. Stop wrestling and start nestling. And I will never forget when the Lord just sunk that deep into my heart. It was my first son John's dedication. And I'm sure you've heard this story, but I'll say it again. I don't care, because it's a great moment in my life. I'm holding my son John. We're standing up on stage, you know, we're dedicating our children to the Lord. And I'm holding my son John, and the pastor's talking like pastors always do, right? They talk too much. And he's talking, and I'm talking to God while we're doing this. And my son John is sleeping. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, Dan, see how John completely trusts you? He's completely resting in you. He's not worried about a thing. That's what I want for you in my arms. Completely trusting in me. Completely resting in me. Quiet. No worries. That's what I want for you in my arms. Stop wrestling. Start nestling. Fathers, we have the privilege of helping our children have a positive view of God. All fathers are imperfect. Accept that. You're imperfect. But strive through the Holy Spirit's empowering to live in a way that your children can see what their Heavenly Father is really like. And when you fall, which I guarantee you will, when you fall short, humbly seek your children's forgiveness. Yes, that's what I said. Seek your children's forgiveness when you need to. And brothers, please hear this. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Sometimes we carry that a long time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being the perfect Father. Thank you, God, for always being there, always present, compassionately taking care of us, loving us unconditionally, blessing us, Lord, undeservedly. God, thank you for being such a good, good Father. And I pray for us, God, those that maybe are struggling with bitterness in their hearts towards their dad, would you bring them the grace to forgive, the grace to let it go? God, for those of us who are fathers, who see our failure and we're just struggling to forgive ourselves, would you grant the grace for us to just receive your forgiveness and to walk in that, even for ourselves, God. God, do this so that your name would be exalted in this place and in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.